Welcome to Queer Music Heritage, and this is J.D. Doyle. I'm heard every month as a part of Queer Voices on KPFT. And since I began QMH in 2000, this is my 10th show entirely devoted to the music of transgendered artists. And I love doing shows like this, as it not only gives me a chance to share their music, but also to share a bit of their lives and journeys. In 2007, I did a series of 4 shows in a row, so now I'm going to sort of catch up with the music mostly newer than that. And I've got, I think, a very interesting feature interview. It's with Radford Bishop of the queercore band Tough Tough Skin, one of the very few bands I know of where all the members were trans men. More on that in a while. I want to mention that the opening song was, well, I think, the perfect one to start off this show. It was by an Atlanta band led by, and this is her term, transgender bender Amber Taylor. The band is called The Sexual Side Effects, and the song was I'm in Love with a Girl Who Used to Be a Man. Next up from the UK is Jenny Slater.
Basically, Zodiac is a collection of songs about the human condition, obviously from a transsexual point of view. But hopefully I've managed to sort of do the songs in such a way that most people can identify with them.
Treat me with a closed mind.
That was Jenny Slater. Her debut album called Zodiac was released in 2008, and I think it's excellent. We heard her song Run and Hide. Up next is Anthony Hegarty, who is better known under the name of his music group, Anthony and the Johnsons. He's released 3 studio albums since 1998 and a number of EPs, garnering him much praise. From his 2005 album, I Am a Bird Now, I want to play for you a track called For Today I Am a Boy.
One day I'll grow up, I'll be a beautiful woman. One day I'll grow up, I'll be a beautiful girl. One day I'll grow up, I'll be a beautiful woman. One day I'll grow up, I'll be a beautiful girl. But for today, I am a child. For today, I am a boy. For today, I am a child. For today, I am a boy. One day I'll grow up, I feel the power in me. One day I'll grow up, of this I'm sure. One day I'll grow up, I'll know a womb within me. One day I'll grow up, feel it full and pure. But for today, I am a child. For today, I am a boy. For today,
thank you. me up. She says, how's my daughter? 'Cause she can't see that part of me is being slaughtered. Well, Mom, I said, I've been around the world and I've been named, but I'm still the same. I'll always be your girl. And she sounds trepidatious. She says, I don't know if I can face this. I said, well, cover your eyes and listen to me, world.
Followed Anthony and the Johnsons with a trans man artist I recently heard about. He's Gio Wyeth, and he records under the name Novice Theory. His first album from last year is called At the End We Listen. I want to get to our feature interview, and as already announced, it's with Radford Bishop, who played guitar and drums and was one of the vocalists of the Minneapolis queercore band Tough Tough Skin. I learned about them when I was researching my show on queercore and was very impressed with their music and their album, which was called Let It Sink Down. What I didn't know then was that Radford was in another queer act earlier before his transition. And I love that this is a chance to share music by an artist in sort of a before and after way. The earlier act was called Winter Machine and included a very fine gay artist, Coleman Lindbergh, who has other releases on his own. Their joint Winter Machine album from 2002 was called A Few Things I Believe, and I asked Radford to tell me about that act.
Winter Machine is a project that I was in for about 5 years with another artist, Coleman Lindbergh. And we played what we called folk punk, which can mean a lot of different things to different people, but basically for us, we were mainly folk artists who came together because we had a mutual interest in kind of radical politics and really using the personal as political and sharing our stories as queer artists.
From that album, tell me about the song Going Through.
Well, Going Through is the first track on the album, and it was a song that I started writing and I couldn't finish it. I had all these different pieces that came together, but it wasn't a complete song. And so I asked Coleman if he would collaborate with me and try to fill in some of the lyrics. And so it ended up being this song that was half Coleman and half me, and it was one of our first collaborations.
It's a really good song.
Thanks.
And I like that shows your voice then.
Yeah, definitely.
Phase you say I'm going through. Climb through. fiction. I stopped trying to save you not so long ago. Time goes so slow for those who take it day by day.
You were so drunk you couldn't stand up. Crawled to the bathroom just to throw up, and you would have slept there with me, holding your hair. She said, it's not denial, it's acceptance. And maybe a small dose of codependence. No, really, I'm fine. You should have just left me there.
Time passes, I add another brick to the wall.
I can kiss you now and it's okay, with my emotions a safe distance away in time after time. Like Cyndi Lauper said, I'll still catch you when you fall. Sound familiar? Does anyone here care that Mr. 13-year-old All-American boy number 2,700,006 just said, Mom, I'm queer. And she said, you'll grow out of it, dear. Tell me how many brothers and sisters have to drown their fear before they believe that their choice of gender is not what's screwed up here. How many more schools do we have to sue for not recognizing that gay bashing is sexual harassment, too? You are not alone, but I've felt that. And sometimes I'm so suffocated, I think antidepressants are overrated. But give me a pill, a hit, a fix. Anything to numb this.
Time passes, I add another brick to the wall. Wait till you're older. The mantra they gave me, just try it to save me. I pass it up, I pass it over. It never helps, cause we're never older. And there's still gay youth and straight youth and straight youth. Not for you, but I'll laugh and I'll laugh. Cause be sure to be strong.
Can you talk briefly about the change in your voice?
Sure. My voice changing was actually something that kept me from starting a medical transition for several years, because I was playing in Winter Machine with Coleman, and the way that our voices fit together was kind of miraculous, and I didn't want to lose that. Now, that project ended independently, and that was when I decided to transition. And I was really scared that I was not going to be able to sing. And I thought about it for a long time, and I just got to a point where I was willing to sacrifice that. If that was what I had to sacrifice to live as the person that I feel I am, then it was worth it to me. And it was still really scary. It was like jumping off this huge cliff. But I figured that I have other musical outlets. I play a number of musical instruments. I really enjoy percussion, and if I lost the ability to sing, I would find other musical outlets. Now, I can't tell you how grateful I am to still be able to sing. I feel incredibly lucky, and even the thought of that I once felt like I could give that up is kind of scary to me, but I'm just really glad that everything happened the way it happened, and I have a different voice now, but it's a voice that I love, and it's a voice that's me, and I don't regret any of those choices.
One trans guy artist I know described it as his voice before didn't seem to match himself, because the voice he had in his head for how he thought he should sound wasn't how he sounded.
Right. That's really interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I always seemed kind of ungrateful, because singing was really my first instrument, and singing was something that I got a lot of compliments on prior to transition, and just kind of all my life, like as a kid, and I resented it. And it's why I started playing guitar, actually, because I felt so uncomfortable having all these people come up to me and compliment my voice. And I don't think I even thought through the fact that maybe my voice didn't fit my internal identity. I don't think I thought that far. It just made me really uncomfortable to be recognized for my voice. And so when I was about 17, I decided that I wanted to play an instrument well enough that people would come up and congratulate me on that and over my singing voice. And I eventually got to that point with guitar.
In the band Tough Tough Skin, Radford started out on guitar and then later switched to drums. Tell me about the band Tough Tough Skin.
Tough Tough Skin is the band that I helped start right before I started my medical transition. And so I kind of transitioned alongside of the band. It was a punk project started by myself and River Gordon. And it was really, we started out playing on electric guitars through these tiny practice amps in River's living room and blossomed into the full band that got signed to Queer Control Records and was able to tour the West Coast.
And tell me about the album.
The album is the only album that we put out, and it is the product of the blood and sweat of 6 years of punk rock that was very queer indeed. We got 17 tracks on the album, and three different members of the band wrote songs, so you've got some diversity there in style and song topic, but they're all kind of short punk rock songs. And we called our style, we kind of dubbed it Queer Nerdcore, because people were asking, you know, oh, what kind of music do you play? Well, we could say punk, but that doesn't say it all. We could say queercore, but to somebody who's not familiar with the scene, it's not going to really tell them a whole lot. And so we kind of stuck the nerd in there, which also doesn't tell you anything, except that we're quirky. And that was kind of, that was because we all kind of feel like nerds, you know? We sit at home with our guitars in the middle of the night, or, you know, listening to the college radio stations, and, you know, well, our drummer on the album, Zach, he's a genius. You know, we got a couple college degrees in there, and stuff like that. And so that was just kind of our playful way of creating a new style of music, even though, you know, we were maybe playing traditional chord progressions, but we definitely have some quirkiness thrown in there. So that's why we called it Queer Nerdcore. And it ranges from songs that we wrote 6 years ago to songs that we wrote the week before we went into the studio. So there's a really huge range of musical evolution as far as we were concerned. And we mixed them all up, so you can listen to the album and try and pick out the new songs versus the old songs.
I want to get to my favorite song on the album. Tell me about Man Whore.
Man Whore. All right, let me think about the safest way to talk about this song. I'm going to try and phrase it in like what the song meant to me so that I can't get yelled at later. Now, this is an old song for us. We'd been playing it for a lot of years. It was one of the first songs that we played as a band. Well, I didn't write the song Man Whore, but for me, it was pretty significant in the early days of my transition. And it was all about kind of being a slut and running around, and for me, like, the first time I was finally being, you know, hit on by gay guys who didn't know I was trans and I was passing, and your libido goes crazy. It's like going through a second puberty. So your libido goes crazy, and you want to run around with all these boys and not have to apologize for it.
Shotgun wedding divorce, and I just learned how to cruise. It was quite by accident that I found myself beside you. It's not just my wandering eyes whenever we go out. It's the things I lie and think about when nobody else is around. Love the way you make it makes me bored. Give up, I can't give it back, cause I'm a man whore.
she won't say you're in love with me. Meanwhile, my phone number's in back pockets all over town. I've been a little dishonest, but at least I'm not tied down. Love the way you make it makes me bored. Give up, can't give it back.
How did the band get its name?
That one was actually a phrase picked out of a book that we were paging through, but it really resonated with us because being trans, kind of the image of tough skin to me, brings up a lot of images. It's like, one, when you grow up being marginalized or getting teased a lot for any reason, you really have to develop, you know, what they call a thick skin. And so that kind of resonated first off for me. But then there's also the significance of scar tissue being really tough. And a lot of female-to-male trans guys end up getting surgeries, chest surgeries, that leave some significant scarring across the chest. And so the words tough, tough skin to me represented, one, that really having to be tough in an emotional sense, and then two, representing the two scars that I have across my chest.
How would you describe the band's music?
I've always described our music as queercore, but that doesn't necessarily say a whole lot either to people who are outside the queer community or specifically speaking to genre. A lot of the songs are punk rock. And, you know, they're loud, they're edgy, but we also have these really melodic lyric lines and melodies. And so I've started now calling it melodic punk rock, just to be more clear to people who aren't familiar with queercore. But I think from an ethics point and a song topic point, we're talking queercore, we're talking political, but also irreverent.
Tell me about the song Second Guessing.
All right, let me think about this for a second. It was a very personal song for me, so I got to figure out how to articulate it right without giving away too many secrets. Okay. Second Guessing is a song that is very personal to me. I was going through some tough things in my life emotionally and in my relationship, and at the same time, in Minneapolis, we had the collapse of the 35W bridge. And that was very significant for a lot of people. It was kind of 2 degrees of separation. And a lot of people had talked to me about how they were supposed to be on the bridge when it collapsed, or they had been driving that direction and turned around for some reason. And in my personal life, I was relating that to, there's a line in the song that says, cars keep moving forward until something starts to break and water turns to carnage and neglect in the place where we connect. And that was really a physical, literal image of this bridge collapsing, but also of my relationship, which was kind of falling apart at the time. And so that song to me was all about getting out that emotion and that fear and anger and trying to trust myself and trust my instincts and hope that my instincts would keep me safe.
Imagine what's under my shirt. You think you know me well. Closet's just as big as all the stuff that you should sell.
is closing on another day, and I wish that you could stay. The night can go on just as long as we can stay awake. Cars keep moving forward until something starts to break. And water turns to carnage and neglect in the place that we connect.
Tell me about Pass the Whiskey.
Pass the Whiskey is sort of an irreverent song that came out of the frustrations of being a trans person. One of the lines says, thanks to these meds, I blend right in, got this stubble on my chin. Tell me what a person's got to do to get a bathroom wall, unisex or a stall. Because my favorite venue in Minneapolis, to play at least, the men's bathroom used to have a bathroom stall, until some drunk punks broke it one night and they took the wall out. So you walk in and it's just a row of urinals and an open toilet. And so that causes some problems for trans guys. And there are just these days when you're tearing out your hair and you just, you know, you can't stand all of the hoops that you have to jump through and everything just seems exhausting and you have to do all these things just to leave your house. And so Pass the Whiskey just came out of all that frustration and was kind of complaining about being trans, but at the same time trying to tell myself to just chill out because you still have to get up and face your day. And if you can't laugh at yourself, then it's going to be a really hard day.
Check the list of things to do tomorrow. Catch a cold, catch a bus. Every boy's afraid of us. Tell me you can't stay this way forever. Cause you can't just help yourself. You gotta help somebody else. It's too hot in these clothes. Anger fast and tears too slow. Count to 10. Down to 20.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Back to these meds, I slid right in. Got the stove on my chin. Tell me what the first thing I do to get a bathroom wall. You sex or a soul.
And that was Pass the Whiskey.
Hello, Transgendered Hotline. Let me reassure you, you are all woman. That's right, you, sitting there, crossing your legs in that certain fashion, trying to keep your brow from going down when you get angry, and adjusting that wig cap in just the right way so when you sit at Starbucks, you make sure that nothing's hanging out. Thanks for calling Transgendered Hotline, and have a great transgender day.
And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. And this is another one of my shows where I had much too much great material for just 1 hour. In fact, too much for 2 hours. So you can find parts 2 and 3 at my site. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more Very Queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night, Sunday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. Radford, I love and admire that you and the band have a number of videos on YouTube talking about the trans experience and as it relates to singing.
Yes. Do you want me to talk about that?
Yeah, I do. I think that's a gift to the people that need this information.
I personally, in my personal life, outside of the band, am a real advocate for trans youth and people who are questioning their gender and thinking about transitioning. So I like to make myself available, and YouTube is a great venue for that. You know, people can ask me questions and kind of see what my experience has been to some extent. And so when I had the opportunity to get the band on YouTube, I really jumped at that because I thought, you know, here we are doing something that not a lot of other people are doing, and we happen to all be trans and can speak to very different experiences through the transition period when it relates to music. So we made a two-part video, and each of the three of us, myself, Chris, and River, all talk about our experience with singing as we started a medical transition, and how our voices changed, what was frustrating, what was elating. Chris, for example, kind of stopped singing because his voice started cracking and he didn't know how to use it. He just stopped singing. And so a couple years ago, started to get interested in singing again and kind of had to relearn that whole process, whereas River and I sang pretty much daily from day one of testosterone all the way through, you know, yesterday. And sometimes we just sounded horrible, but we just kept singing and kept singing. And I think that that's a really important thing for trans guys to do, who want to continue having a usable singing voice. You've got to use it. You can't, even if you're sitting in a dark room and you're the only person in your apartment, still sing. Your voice is going to crack and you're going to feel silly, but if you keep singing, you're just going to have a much greater likelihood of ending up with a singing voice that you're happy with and that you're confident with and that you know how to use.
I've read that many trans guys have the experience of coming out twice, first as a lesbian.
It's true. It's a really common experience. It's not across the board, but it was my experience. I never used the word lesbian, though. I always call myself a dyke or just queer. And I never thought that through. Those were just the words that felt acceptable to me. And so I came out as a dyke when I was 19. I came out as trans then 4 years later, and it was a lot harder. It was a lot harder for me to come out to my family, especially as trans, than when I came out to them as gay.
Well, people in general know so much less about transgender issues than gay issues.
Yeah.
So, if you mind my asking, your orientation, are you attracted to women?
No, actually, I am pretty exclusively identifying as a gay man, and that changed for me. And that doesn't happen to everybody. I know there's some guys out there who are afraid that they're going to turn gay if they go on testosterone, and it's just not the case. But for me, I had always been attracted to men, and I just wasn't the kind of girl that the men I knew were attracted to, if that makes sense. I think that all has to do with kind of masculinity and how uncomfortable I was with myself at the time and stuff like that. But when I went on testosterone, you know, as soon as I could pass, really, gay guys started hitting on me, and it was very, very quickly apparent that was where my path was leading.
So you went from a lesbian being attracted to women to a trans guy being attracted to men.
Yes. Crazy. It was actually my girlfriend at the time pointed it out to me, too. She said we had to break up because I didn't like girls anymore. And when she said it out loud, I realized it was true.
Do you know a lot of trans guys?
Do I know a lot of trans guys?
Mm-hmm.
I know a ton of trans guys.
Okay. Then let me ask you kind of if you can generalize. I know this is an individual thing, but I've been curious about the question I'm going to ask for a long time. I know orientation and gender are not the same thing. And if someone tells me they're transgendered, it tells me nothing about their orientation.
Right.
So for trans men, do you have an observation as to are there more of them attracted to men or women?
What I've noticed most is that, and this definitely isn't across the board either, but I've noticed that a lot of trans guys have more fluid sexuality. Now, they don't necessarily identify as bisexual because the word bisexual upholds that rigid binary gender system that a lot of us are trying to get away from. So we might use words like queer to describe our sexual orientation. A lot of guys are going to tell you that they are just attracted to the person. More the personality, less than the package. But aside from that, like, I'd say there's a good pool of that kind of sexual identity. But aside from that, I'd say it's like any other gender. There's a bunch of trans guys who like to date women, and there's a bunch of trans guys who like to date men, and there's a bunch of guys somewhere on the spectrum who date men and women, or who date just other trans people, but it doesn't necessarily matter if it's female-identified trans people or male-identified trans people, just other people who have shared that kind of general experience. So it's really varied, and I don't think that you could say that there's more of one than the other.
I guess there are probably a lot of gay guys who are attracted to a trans guy, and then when they find out all of the equipment isn't there, it's a deal breaker.
Yep. That is a problem. Is that a formal question?
Yeah.
All right. It has been my experience that a lot of biological guys, they are attracted to trans men because, you know, we look and sound 100% male to them. They would never think twice about it unless they're familiar with the trans community. And, you know, oftentimes, sadly, the majority of those guys seem to not be interested anymore once they learn more about our physicalities. And our physicalities are really varied, so it's kind of stupid for guys to just assume that they know what our bodies are like. You know, it's kind of disheartening as a gay guy. But I've also met some really amazing men who, for whatever reason, you know, they can see past that. And, you know, I've had several biological gay men say to me, you know, things like, well, I'm turned on, so obviously you're a guy. You know, they get that energy, and they aren't attracted to women, but they're attracted to me, and that tells them that I'm male, which I find really interesting.
In the transgendered artist music scene, who should I know about that I might not?
You know about the Shondas?
Is that how you pronounce their name?
Yeah,
Are they trans?
Some of the members are trans.
Okay.
And they are absolutely hands down one of my favorite bands in the country, period.
Okay.
They are amazingly intelligent, amazingly talented musicians, and they have a lot to say.
Okay, well, that sent me after their music, and I learned more about them from an article in the Village Voice that described them as three-quarters transgender, three-quarters Jewish, and 100% political. Also, the article stated that Shondas is a Yiddish word for disgrace or outrage. So the band says that they're outcasts, even in scenes that celebrate outcasts. Their 2008 debut album is called The Red Sea, and from it is Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? This is J.D. Doyle with Queer Music Heritage, and it's time to finish up the first part of this month's show. I thank you for listening, and especially thank Radford Bishop for the very interesting interview. If you have questions or comments about any of the music I've featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. There's much more to this show on the internet version, where you'll hear 2 more hours of transgendered artists. I've got to share with you there, I think, a fascinating interview with Angela Motter, where we dig deep into the genderqueer spectrum. And there's more. Next month will be another show on transgendered artists, with interviews with the duo Coyote Grace, Namely Brennett, Lisa Jackson, Venus de Mars, and much more. All this, of course, is found on my site at www.queermusicheritage.com. Well, that song by the Shondas put me in a mood for another driving song, and it's by the Clicks, who leaped into the spotlight a couple years ago, thanks to the terrific voice of lead singer Lucas Silveira. He gave me a very interesting interview for my June 2007 show about their debut album, Snake House. They've got a brand new CD now, and I'm closing with the title track, Dirty King.
The dishes, and I could climb your walls, and I clean out my stitches with rum and alcohol. Hey, I can paint your alley, and you'll be so.
friend.